Great to look out and see all of you. You have me on there, Carl? Okay, good. I just can't wait to tell John Miller how many slides I have in that thing. My husband, I did a presentation a few weeks ago at Petrie, and he just looked at the slide projector and said, "You're going to show all those slides?" And I said, "Just trust me, okay? I don't talk with each slide." So what I want to do tonight, because I have just such a limited amount of time to tell you a world of information of what has been happening with Village Missions International, I want to just tell you about the mission, and then I do want to get into the slides. And the slides, the reason I love slides is because slides say a lot. You know, visually, you look and you see what's happening. And so I'm going to just real quickly tell you what's happening, first of all, in Russia. I have been here and I have talked about Russia, so you're pretty familiar with that ministry. Also, we just put out our newsletter here, and I have them over here for you to take with you. And the newsletter tells you everything you want to know, really, about our Russian ministry. Inside, it tells about our missionaries. It tells a little bit about what our ministries over there, what we're doing. So it's very informative. Now, when this letter came out, Jody Brown, our director, had not been to Africa yet. So most of the information I'm going to give you tonight is going to be about our African ministry. And just, I can tell family a lot of things that I don't usually tell, but I want you to know that before I was a believer, in seventh grade at the Liberal Methodist Church here in Glendale, Arizona, I walked forward and dedicated myself to the African mission field. I was an unbeliever. But I do remember, God says, "I've got to get you saved first, girl." So I found Westside Bible Church and Campus Crusade for Christ. But anyway, I remember that so vividly that I have always had a burden for Africa. And in fact, one man who has invited us to his country, and Jody did go there, to Ghana. I met his daughter 4 years ago. She was educated here in the United States. She spoke at one of our evangelism conferences, and I was just fascinated. And I said, "Oh, I've always wanted to go to Africa." And she invited me to go to Africa. So 4 years ago, I saved up all this money to go to Africa. But you know where I used that money to go to? Russia. Doesn't God have a wonderful sense of humor? My husband always wanted to go to Russia. And of course, he was so excited that I wasn't going to Africa. He didn't mind sending me to Russia, but not Africa. So I ended up going to Russia, and I know that was exactly where God wanted me. Since that trip, it's phenomenal what happened. That was November of 1992. In March of 1993, which is 2 years ago this month, we incorporated Village Missions International. We already had Africa Village Missions, but the doors had been closed there to missionaries in Nigeria, even though we were still scantily supporting a national missionary. So Russia opened up, and we incorporated Russia Village Missions, and the umbrella is Village Missions International. And the reason that we have these is because we have a vision to go to other countries. We have people asking us, the government is asking Americans to come to Vietnam and teach the Bible, because that now they realize that the only way their government and their country is ever going to make it is to learn about God and about the Bible. And this is happening all over the world, in countries like Vietnam. China is opening. So there's all these countries that are opening, and we're having our particular impact, and I want to just tell you about that. Since 1992, now in Mogilev, we have 8 full-time missionaries, and in August, we have a man that just graduated from Western Seminary. He and his wife will be going over in August. Western Seminary, yes. And we're really excited about him going over because he'll be such an asset in our Bible Institute there. So we have those people in Mogilev. We teach right now 42 Bible classes a week in the city of Mogilev. We don't have time to teach English anymore. You know, we went in there and we taught all these English classes because then we could have Bible classes after school. Now we don't have time for English because all of our missionaries are so busy teaching Bible classes. We have 2 orphanages, 2 hospitals. We have a factory camp. We have camps in the summer. We've had 4 camps in these 2 years. We've had over 700 children and counselors become believers in Jesus Christ. So with all that's going on there, our Bible Institute, this is the second year. Our goal is to go 3 years if we're allowed to stay in that country. We're constantly having problems in Russia. The best thing that happened to us recently in Russia is that Jody Brown left the country, and he came He came to America, and the government kept bugging Jody, you know, you need to do this, you need, always trying to get us out of the country. One night we got a call, and the police were at the door, knocking on his door, saying he wasn't legal, and they had to get out of the country, and you have 24 hours, and of course we prayed about it, and you know, God is in control, so he took out his old papers and said, it says right here I'm legal. We use their laws to fight them. It's so interesting. We did it legal, right here it says. But anyway, we were allowed to stay. But he got out of the country, and Steve Dupuy, who is now our coordinator in that area, said that anytime the government would bug him, he'd just say, well, our director's out of the country, so you have to wait till he gets back. So we've decided we need to keep Jody out of that country as often as possible so that we can remain there. But things, when Jody went back this last time, things were just going great. The only thing is there's a now a law, which just recently came into effect, and I understand that it's going into all the former Soviet countries, that missionaries cannot move and live in those countries. So we are no longer missionaries in Mogilev. We are a humanitarian organization. We are no longer Village Missions International. We are called Helping Hands. And four times a year, we have to take in vitamins or medicines. And right now, I have over a ton of clothes that the U.S. government pays to send. And I'm sending those over to that city as one of our humanitarian aides. And we do these things. And we have four times this year, we're obligated to do that. And we continue to teach our 42 Bible classes a week. And we continue to minister. So that's what we're doing right now. We are not missionaries. We are Bible teachers. We are teachers. And we are a humanitarian organization. So it's so interesting how God just continues to allow us to teach. We have a local church there. We don't call it a church because it's illegal to have a church in that country. Unless you are Russian Orthodox and a Baptist. If you can't, the new Baptists can't develop churches, but if you're the old Baptist, you can keep your church. We work with a Baptist church in that city, and that's how we do all of our religious activities now, is we do it under the Baptist church. Judaism is still, you can have a Jewish church, but you cannot have a Christian church in that area. You can't start a church. So we are not a church where a Bible class, we get together every Sunday morning, and we have Bible class, and we sing, and we pray, and we do everything but take an offering. But we're a Bible study, and we have over 100 people now attending our Bible study. As many of you know, we have an exchange program that we did two summers in a row, and we had 38 Belarusians come to the United States, and it was phenomenal. In November, I've been back to Russia five times in this last 2 years. In November, when I went back to Russia, we did a reunion with all the kids and all the teachers, and it was phenomenal. It was just so much fun. They loved it. All but about two were able to come. But many of those children, many of those kids that came were unbelievers when they came, and they went back as believers. And if you don't believe that you can change the world one life at a time, let me tell you. I see some of these kids over there. The one young man you had here, Alex, I didn't know who he was, but I saw him at church, and he had an Arizona t-shirt on. And I walked up to him and I said, I bet you were an exchange student in Arizona last summer, or two summers ago. And he said, how'd you know that? And I said, well, it's not every Belarusian young person that's running around with an Arizona t-shirt on. And so he was telling me about, yeah, was telling me all these people he stayed with. And of course, I knew all of you. I knew. And so we had this thing going. He introduced me to his parents, to his family. And it was wonderful. He goes to the Bible Institute. He goes to church. His family's involved with the church. And that happens with a lot. Marina, the teacher that was here, she is our number one Bible teacher. She teaches at the Institute. She and Phyllis Myers, Phyllis is training her. She makes visual aids. It's just phenomenal what these young people have done. And even this last summer, we have kids that went back, teachers that went back, and they just get... I think it's because they've never really... They don't understand the local church. And they come here, and they see what a local church is, and they go back, and they want to be a part of that. And they are just the most active people in our local churches back there. The young people are phenomenal. I'm trying to think what else has happened. That's basically what is happening in Mogilev. It's just a phenomenal ministry. It just continues to happen. We continue to need, of course, missionaries. We continue to need you to pray that we can stay. You know, we just keep praying that we can stay in that country. Our missionaries are so oriented to the plan of God that they're already ready just to move to another Soviet country. Now, there's a new law, and you might pray for this. This new law just came out in the last few months, and it says that any foreigner in Belarus cannot stay longer than 3 months. They have to leave the country for a month, and then they can come back into the country. So we have to leave, our missionaries have to leave for a month after 3 months in order to get another visa. That's new. And by the way, Russia and all the former Soviet countries, this is happening because they will eventually, you realize the Russian Orthodox Church is does not like the fact that many of their people are getting saved and starting to learn the Bible, and there's evangelical churches. The Russian Orthodox Church is very, very strong in those countries. And if you read the news and you see what's going on, they will probably eventually be able to close the doors in those countries. But our big thrill and what we see is what's happening with those people. I go back there. I've been there 5 times in the last 2 years, and I see people that were saved the first time we were there in 1992, and I just can't believe the growth in those people, how much they've grown spiritually. And they're teaching. After 2 years, they're teaching the Word of God. They're teaching these kids. We have an interpreter who's interpreting all kinds of materials for us. But it is just phenomenal. I can talk to them like I talk to you. And I love it because these people, I'll tell you what, they have nothing over there. The economy just gets worse and worse. The ruble, I mean, it's Jody and our missionaries just can't believe that they can live because things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. But you go over there and you talk to our believers, our Christians, and they smile. They are so happy. They can be so content and so happy without the material things of life because they have Jesus Christ and they're learning the Word of God and they're using it. And it's so thrilling for me to see. So I just bring all the love from all your Belarusian kids here. I know when you sent the gifts and the cards and all, we had our reunion, they were just all so thrilled. And you realize that it's the dream of every Russian I've ever met to come to America, either to come to America or to send their children to America. So that's what's happening in Mogilev, Belarus. I'm just so thrilled with all the things that are going on. We have a ministry in Africa. Let me tell you about Africa. Africa was closed to missionaries a few years ago, and Jody had tried to go into that country because we had a missionary that Jody and Gene Cunningham, a pastor, had gone in there in 1988. They had met a man named Matthias, and they trained Matthias. He was a believer. They trained him. They sent him tapes. They trained him in the Word of God. They got 6 other pastors, and in 3 trips that they went over there with just these few men to teach these men, they ended up establishing 10 Grace Bible churches. And we, Africa Village Mission support 10 pastors, we support Matthias, and 10 Bible churches out in the villages. And I'm kind of excited to just show you some of those churches. Anyway, we weren't allowed to go in. Jody tried for 3 years to go back to Africa. What happens? We couldn't get things in there. We didn't know what was going on. We heard that Matthias had that all of his workers were leaving because they were hungry and they had to feed their children. And he told them that, hey, you know, God wants you to take care of your family. So if you want to leave the villages, go into the cities and get jobs, that's fine. We didn't know about Matthias. But Jody decided he had to get back there so that we could decide what we were going to do with the African ministry. Well, he's always tried to go in as a missionary, and I started thinking, there's got to be another way to get into that country. So I put on the thinking cap, and I thought, every country wants tourists, right? So I called the tourist bureau, and I called all this thing, and they said, well, sure, you can get into Nigeria with just a hotel reservation as a tourist. You don't even need an invitation. And so we, you know, went and we made a hotel reservation. By the way, we made this reservation with the idea that we weren't going to stay the whole time. Now, we had no idea if the Muslims, I mean, Jody's been so hassled in Nigeria when they find out that he's a Christian and a missionary at the airport. They push him around. They try to take things from him. They bribe him. They do all these things. We had no idea if they were going to make him stay in this hotel and then we'd be lost because that's not where the ministry is. In Lagos, he had to fly to Calabar and take a taxi to where our villages are. So we just said, well, at least he can get into the country. We couldn't get a hold of Matthias. He didn't know Jody was coming, and Jody had never gone into Africa by himself. He had to trust God on this one. And it was so funny because he says, you know, I'm going by myself. And of course, you know, he took a little tape recorder and I said, you know, I want you to record all this because we never know. You may die the martyr's death. You have talked about how that's how you want to go. So tape everything. And as they're putting you in the pot, I want you to get rid of that tape because I want to hear what's going on. I want to know what happened in Africa. I don't want this to be a story we never know about. And he did. It was real fun to listen to the tapes because he went to all the villages and they sang and all that. But anyway, he gets in as a tourist. And I mean, they treat you like royalty in Africa as a tourist. He said, why didn't I go as a tourist before instead of a missionary? I mean, my goodness, nobody hassled him at the airport. They took him to the hotel. They said, anytime you want to bring teams into this country, we'll help you. And I mean, they were just wonderful. So he gets to the hotel and he had to stay one night. Now, it was $150 a night. So we were so glad he was able to cancel the rest of the nights and that we could go ahead and cancel and he could get to where he was going. Well, anyway, he flies to Calabar, this town, and he tries to find a taxi to get out to where Matthias is. He doesn't know what's going to happen when he gets out there. And he, of all people, talk about coincidence. God is lucky, you know. His taxi driver is a believer in Jesus Christ. And he says, look, I'll take you out there for a few cents. I'll take you right to the door of this man. Let's go. So he took him out, and he wasn't sure what was going to happen. And there was Matthias, ready to meet him with open arms. He was so happy to see him. And Jody says, talk about humbled. This man was in rags. We had not been able to send him money. I mean, for 6-7 months, the ministry had kind of died off. We didn't have any support coming in. And he said he was like in rags. The people were there, and he was continuing to teach the Word of God. And he says, Matthias, what happened to all your men? Did they leave? And he said, let me tell you the story. All my men came, and I told them, you can leave. And they said, well, Matthias, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to teach the Word of God, and I'm going to trust God. And they all stayed. We still have all these churches in Nigeria just going strong, and I can't wait to show you a couple pictures of them. But anyway, that's what's happening in Africa. It's exciting. We also have a ministry in Ghana. We went to Ghana. The country has opened up. We signed up another missionary named James Owusu, who is our national missionary there, and he's got men working for him. He is now one of our supported missionaries with Africa. And Jody also went to Zaire. And what a story. He met a man named Jean-Paul in Mangilove the first year we went there at the Baptist church. And when you go to Russia and see a black man, he really stands out because there are no black people in Russia. And this man stood out. And so John Hintz and Jody and them talked to this man. He's from Zaire. Well, isn't it interesting that he went back to his country a month before Jody went to Africa? And he says to Jody, I'm going to be in Zaire. Why don't you come to my country and do a crusade? And of course, you know, Jody's always wanted to be like Billy Graham and do a crusade. So he says, crusade, all right. And so he went into Zaire, and he did. He got a chance to do a crusade, and the country is open, and they want us to come back also. So the doors are just really open in Africa. And I've got to really hurry to get all this in. I might not show you all the slides, but I do want to show you some of the things here. This is the first team that went over in November of 1992, and there were just a few of us from certain churches. There were 8 of us. And I'm just going to show you real quickly some of the teams. Should we turn the lights off, or can you see okay? You see these all right? Can you turn off half of them? Maybe not. This is our camp team. We have a lot of young people that go over. And it's so neat because we have kids that we had in our camps that go over as counselors. And they teach all the Belarusian kids. And there's another team. There's Jerry Lutz there. That's our team from last year. This is our recent team in November. That's what it looks like in November, by the way. And those are flats. In Mogilev, everybody lives in not houses, but flats. That's what it looks like out of the hotel window. And this is what it looks like in the summer. So if you ever decide to go on a short mission term, you might. Dan, my husband decided to go when it looked like this. And these are little, these are villages between Moscow. We are Village Missions International, and our goal is to reach the villages. Most of these people in these villages have never even heard of Jesus Christ, but there's not enough people to get to the villages yet. You realize we're the only American missionaries in a city of 500,000 people. We're the only missionaries there. And so the villages are our next step, but these are little villages that people live in between the big cities, Moscow and like Mogilev. This is the supermarkets there. This is how they shop. And there's Bobby Joyner. He was our singer, helped with singing at camp, and this is our camp group here, Russian kids. saying goodbye at the train is such a traumatic experience. These people just, they run and chase the trains. They all come and say goodbye to you. It's just a thing they do. Here's some of our kids from camp last summer saying goodbye. There's our team right now in Mogilev, Belarus, the ones that are there. You recognize Sally there? She's really a hit over there with her voice, I'll tell you. But that's our Mogilev team right there. And that's a you may notice this. We've been trying to save this man for a long time. We're hoping he gets saved. In November, we did a reunion with exchange students. We did everything American. We had American flags, and Cindy and I made American food. And here's some of the exchange students. Larissa, our interpreter. Wasn't that the little gal here in Arizona? I think one of those gals was in Arizona. Alex, we gave them little certificates that said, "You are an official exchange student from America." You would have thought we gave them a college diploma. The way they love these certificates, they just went crazy over those. And we sang with them, and I'll tell you, it was in a room less this size, and we had 50, 60 of us all together, and we sang Christian songs, and it was the most beautiful, wonderful thing with these kids. I go to the hospital as a clown every once in a while. That's me. I'm called Bubbles. I had no idea I was a clown. My husband always told me that, but I didn't really realize that I really am a clown. And I had a great opportunity because these kids were not allowed to mix with any other kids. They were very, very sick kids, and they couldn't mix, and they had to be by themselves, so they never get a chance to see or do anything. And I got the opportunity to go in, be clown with them, and give the gospel to each child individually. Oh, and last summer, I thought this was poetic justice. We had our whole camp team sing America. We taught them America in Russian, and I found a linen poster to write it on. I used the back of a linen poster, and I said, "I've got to get this one." So he would turn over in his grave. Misha, the young man that's holding the poster, came from the Ukraine to go to our Bible Institute. There is a pastor teacher right there, 22 years old. I've never seen anybody 22 years old that can't put the Bible down. He goes to every class. We're talking about 4 hours a night, 4 days a week. He goes to Bible class. At our camps, we don't go in swimming pools. We just go out in the woods and swim. This is one of our camps, and there's one of our Americans teaching Bible class. We teach 2 hours of Bible class a day for 10 days. Right here, this is our Friday night teen class, which is a result of our camps and our exchange program. This is our Friday night teen class. And I want you to know, these kids, it's at night, Friday night, they get on a bus. First of all, they walk to the bus stop, which is probably half a mile. They get on a bus. They take it for 15 or 20 minutes. They get off that bus. They get on another one, take it for another 15, 20 minutes before they get to where the bus stop is, and they walk a mile to get to the Palace of Pioneers where they have Bible class in sub-zero weather to learn the Word of God. Now we're in Africa. This is Matthias. He's our national missionary there in Africa. And this is January, so these are all very recent pictures. There are the men. Matthias is in the middle, and there's all of our pastors. They're family. They're all part of Grace Bible Churches. And that's Matthias and his family. And this is his orphans and widows he takes care of. So not only does he take care of his family, but he takes care of these orphans and widows. And that's the whole group there in Africa that work for Matthias. For $500 a month, we support all these people, and they support their whole families. Isn't that a phenomenal? You know, sometimes we think, all I can give is $5 a month. Do you know what $5 a month does in Africa and in Russia? It supports a whole family. I mean, that's our group right there. This young boy is paralyzed from the waist down, and he used to crawl to Bible class, so VMI was able to get him one of these whatever they're called. They have them over there. But you do it with your hands. Now he wheels everywhere. And that's how they dry their clothes, and they cook out on the open fires there. There's Jody in front of one of the little huts that they meet in. That's a woman's Bible class. That's Matthias's wife teaching woman's Bible class. And this is yams. That's how the women carry them, and that's one of the staples over there. This time Jody got chicken and yams instead of rat and yams. So it is a step up from what he's had in the past. This little girl, Jean Cunningham, a pastor, tells me the story of this little girl. The first year they went to Africa, she crawled 2 to 3 miles on her hands and knees to get to Bible class every night they had class. So we were able to get her a brace and some crutches, VMI, and now she uses that to come to Bible class, and that was 3 years ago. There's one of our pastors and their little new baby. And this is a building that we built for them. Now, they can't meet in that building because not only is it too hot, but they've outgrown that building. This is the congregation right there for that building. It's over 1,000 people in that congregation. We have 10 churches like that in the other villages. So they meet outside. And it's very, very hot there. This is Jody and Jody. This little boy was named after Jody Brown. So we have an African Jody. Yes. And this now is Ghana. This is Ghana. And James Owusu, that building behind there, every child has to pay for education in Ghana. Ghana, by the way, is a Christian nation. There's a lot of Christians there. It's easy to get into that country. We want to move a missionary into that country to live. And there's a house that you wouldn't believe they're ready for a missionary that somebody has given us that has 10 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms. It was built by a rich man, and it's empty, waiting for our missionary to go live in it. But Ghana, that school building, somebody gave it to our missionaries, to James Owusu, and they're making it into a Christian school. And with the proceeds of that school, they help run their mission there. And those are all pastors. That's Ghana. Ghana's a pretty civilized city compared to Nigeria. And it's easy for missionaries to live there. This is the men and the people that work with James Owusu. And I love the smiles. I mean, these people have nothing, but they have Jesus Christ, and it just shows. It's Jody teaching his pastors some Bible classes. And James is signing with us to join us as a national missionary for Ghana. And that's his church, James's church. Can you pick Jody Brown out of that group? Jody's teaching his pastors some classes, and some of the ladies there who teach. And you can see what they're teaching, angelic conflict, it looks like. And this is the classroom. They don't have the computerized things we have. Now, if Westside School thinks that they have it rough, because I remember Westside School almost looked like this. But right at those beginning days, but we've come a long way at Westside, but this is the school. And they have a tremendous ministry because all the kids from all the whole city go to this school. They have no choice. It's the only school there. And we own it. We own it. God owns it. And this is Zaire now, and these are the men that work in Zaire. And the man with the plaid shirt on the end, he's the one we met in Mogilev, Belarus, who got us into Zaire to do this crusade. And Jody's telling the men how to go out and reach into the villages. They haven't done that yet, but they want to go reach the villages. Everybody wants to reach the villages because missionaries don't go there. And these are just some of the women in Zaire. You can tell they're a little bit wealthier than the Nigerians. This is one of the pastors and his family. And there's Jody and his crusade, and they have the drums and the electric guitars and everything on the stage. And this is the group that brought him to Zaire. And this is these, I just want to show you real quick. Look at the little streaker. Can you see him?
No.
Isn't he cute? This is right there in the front. This is one of our Grace Bible churches in Nigeria. I'm going to show you a few of them. That's one of them. This is another Grace Bible church. Another Grace Bible Church, you know, of Abudu and the different names. Another group. Jody got to get to almost every village. He went to all the villages and met with all the pastors and the groups in these churches. Okay, that's actually that part of it. And things are going great in Russia, and things are going great in Africa. The doors are wide open. You can just see that the ministry opportunity is wonderful. And Bob is right. We need prayer. We need prayer for missionaries to go over. We need people not only to go short-term, but long-term. And we need just people over here that have a heart for missions. That's all you need is just a heart. And your heart and your desire, God will bless. He really will. I really believe that pictures say so much more than I can say. And so with the just short time I have, I would like to say a lot to you in these next few pictures.